Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, how's this vacation treating you? We just like kind of sitting back and
I'm busy. I don't have too much of a vacation,
yeah, me too.
But absolutely. It is certainly nice to not be stressing about a game seven. That's for sure. After your team was anointed to be the 96 Bulls. It's nice to not worry about that.
I'm trying to think of like, cause what was their saying? It was something along the lines of like, it was a streetlights, not spotlights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spotlights don't get much brighter than game sevens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm realizing I'm also asking you about vacations and game sevens and stuff like that, while my Zoom background is literally waves crashing behind me.
Yeah, I'm like, how are you enjoying your vacation? What are you talking about? I'm cross-eyed right now.
The one thing, because I was able to extend my desk out a little bit, now my computer is a little further away from me, and I'm realizing that like the pooch is now in the picture. Might have to bring my computer.
I got to scoot that forward a little bit. Yeah.
If I ever do any kind of streaming or anything like that, I got to, God forbid I work out or anything like that.
Yeah.
today's show. So I've noticed something over the last few days as we prepare for a game seven in which one of the most talked about teams in the entire NBA might drop a 3-1 lead as the Heat and Celtics prepare for their first game of the Eastern Conference Finals. And as the Lakers await whoever wins this upcoming game seven. And oh, by the way, there's a chance that the Lakers and Celtics might meet in the finals. Those storylines, if we're just focusing on the basketball, should be enough, right? We should be set.
There's a lot to celebrate, man. These have been some fun playoffs. Had a great first round from Luka Doncic. Had some, early storylines and early just things to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
And some great basketball. The Lakers, that's actually one of the sad things. I mean, if we're as good as I think we are and as I hope we are, it will be very fun to celebrate either way. But it's too bad that I feel like people can't really see the Lakers because nobody's agnostic about the Lakers, meaning that you got feelings about the team one way or another, whether mm-hmm. you love them. But if you're not a Laker fan, you're not just like to me, I think of like the Washington Wizards. I have zero feelings about the Washington Wizards. They're not good, not bad. Just they're the Wizards. They're another team in the NBA. Nobody feels that way about the Lakers. And the vast majority of people really dislike the Lakers. What's happened is the Lakers have developed into a really, really good basketball team this year.
And a fun one.
And a really fun one with a lot of guys who try hard, they're really cohesive and they're
cool stories.
Like they get along. Yeah. And it's got this great family vibe to it. And it's just too bad so many people root against it so hard and have no care to admit that that's actually where they're coming from, that they have difficulty appreciating, like, this is a great and really fun basketball team all on its own merits if you're paying attention to what's happening on the court. And that goes to your point of, like, hey, let's focus on what's going on, because there's a lot of really interesting, stories and just things transpiring in the NBA playoffs are the highest level of basketball in the world. And it's a beautiful sport. It should be celebrated.
That's actually kind of a different direction that I was going to take this conversation. I actually kind of want to stay on that strand.
Oh, okay.
Regarding the fact that people cannot be agnostic about the Lakers, because I think those people are really missing out. I saw a thread, and look, Isaac Lee of The Ringer is, in my opinion, one of the most talented people out there. I don't know,
I had dinner with him a while back.
Yeah.
I had dinner with him and some other guys. I gave him shit for being a Clipper fan the entire time.
As you should. Really, as you should.
Yeah, I don't think he cares for me very much. I did what had to be done.
But again, ridiculously talented. He I love the Binge Mode podcast and the work those guys do together. It's incredible. He said like some of the most asinine shit I have ever heard the other day on yesterday, by the time you guys are listening to this on Twitter, where he was like, the Lakers are the evil empire and you should not ever like consider them like a good feel good story. And it's like, when did we start saying that like success is something we should frown upon?
Right. That makes is what makes you evil.
The evil empire. You know, right. Because if you're really looking for like what would signify and symbolize evil empire-ishness, right? Kawhi is fucking Darth Vader. Like that's his entire persona. This guy who like says very minimal stuff, shows up. Even his moves are minimalistic. Like you could just see him in the Vader outfit. Like you could see. And then, you know, Ballmer is the type of billionaire owner that we tend to have a problem with in today's society. And you have this team of mercenaries that aren't particularly likable, you know, like when you compare, like if you're trying to make the case to me, hey, you should not like the Lakers. You should like the Clippers. I think you're looking at the sport from a completely skewed standpoint. And I think you're really missing out on some stuff because I would much rather root for a team that has built chemistry over the course of the year. And you can really see these guys pulling for each other, whether the chips are down or whether they're on a 20-something run. You know, I really think there's something that sports fans in general, if it wasn't the Lakers, would really identify with this stuff. And oh, by the way, they're doing all this while the organization took one of the toughest losses that any organization has taken in any random season. And the fact that they all kind of rally together as a family, like we always kind of poke and prod with the whole mom and pop shop stuff, but no, they really rallied around each other based on stuff that I know you're privy to and stuff that I have heard, that they really kind of came together and tried to mourn the passing of Kobe Bryant and then get through everything that came about from it and are now trying to win a championship in his name. Like if it wasn't the Lakers, this would be one of the coolest feel good stories in the entire sport. And I don't say this to like ask to be persecuted. I don't mean that at all. I just think if you're not looking at it from that standpoint, you're really kind of missing out.
Yeah, I mean, there's, again, like you said, there's all the off-the-court storylines. There's a lot of guys on the roster who have been doubted or have been, there are a lot of people on this team that have a great deal of reason to prove people wrong.
Yeah.
And things that, you know, to prove people wrong about
JaVale is shacked in. Dwight was almost out of the league. Mm-hmm. Markeith is the lesser Morris brother.
You can go on and on throughout the roster. Yeah. And that they've been able to come together as the team has, and even just simply on the court, like if you like defense, like watching this team play defense, mm-hmm. if these guys were wearing jerseys that were blank jerseys, one team had a white jersey, the other team had a black jersey, no name on it. You just happened upon them in a gym, mm-hmm. and you didn't know who any of them were, but you understood the sport. You were like, oh, that team's awesome. Like how they play defense.
Yeah.
They fly around. They play really hard. They've got a couple of guys who are like, who do things that are like, how did he do that type, you know?
Yeah.
And, but
we're
yeah,
talking about people, Caruso there, right? Not AD or no.
All of the above. Yeah, man. Yeah. And, I just feel if they were wearing any other jersey, they would be very much celebrated more so than they are.
And this isn't just cause like, I hate it when hockey fans like my sport or any like other fan of a team is like my team. This isn't me saying that. Like, if you don't like the Lakers, I frankly get it. The Lakers have tormented a lot of fan bases through the years, you know, with their success. And I think that's where seeing them as the evil empire because of that success comes into play. But I just think if you're looking for, especially in our industry, our job is to find stories, right? Like personally, my favorite thing to do in this industry has always been find the cool story, find the fun story, and then talk about that. Now, you know, sometimes that you look at it more from the X's and O's standpoint, and the storytelling isn't as big a priority, but I still think these things can go hand in hand too. And
sure, there are all sorts of interesting basketball storylines.
Yeah.
Like if you just focus on the basketball, and that's just what we need to do more of. I think Yes. This is more in the direction you did want to take it.
Yeah, we'll segue this there. Is that
we just need to like pay more attention to the basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like, and because there are all sorts of story, there's drama, there's, you know, like, oh, this happened last time, but he came back with this. It's great. It's a great sport. It just, we've become so caught up in the narrative BS stuff that we, you know, look more and more away from the court. And there's just plenty to look at that's very interesting.
Yep. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we'll talk about what we initially were going to talk about in that first segment, which is I'm a little disappointed in the conversation surrounding these playoffs right now. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com. Enter whatever part it is that your car might need. And then after going through the entire process, make sure you let them know that you heard about them by writing Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. But before you do any of that, just like really peruse their website. It's insane the number of parts they have access to. I told you guys the other day parts I was Googling or not Googling, but searching on their website just to see what they have access to and all of that. And I was shocked at everything that they have. it became a joke, and it remains a joke that more people aren't using this website. So again, that's rockauto.com. They're a family owned business, serving car parts customers for 20 years now. Head on over to rockauto.com, search for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and you're going to get reliably low prices. You're going to get the kind of experience that makes you want to go back. That's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I was thinking about this because, you know, football is now back, and, you know, one of the knocks on basketball right now is that, you know, you wind up just rooting for laundry, right? And that, you know, because of the amount of player movement and specifically superstar movement, you're kind of taken away from the purpose of being a fan of a team, right? And I disagree with the premise in and of itself, but I'm watching football, which is still the biggest sport in the country in terms of sheer popularity. And Tom Brady's on the Pats or is on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The running back who I grew up rooting for, Adrian Peterson, is now on division, is in the division against the Vikings, now playing for the Detroit Lions. You have all of these players throughout the NFL that jump teams all of the time. Even Jason Garrett, who coached the Cowboys for the last like 5 or so years, is now the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants, one of their bitter rivals in their division, right? And so I don't think it's necessarily just the player movement that might rub some fans the wrong way. What I think it is the investment and the interest in it leading up to the player movement. Like in the NFL, you see players traded for, I still have no idea how trade capital works in the NFL. You see like really good players traded for a 6th and the 7th round pick. And I'm like, okay, sure. That makes a ton of sense. But you see players change teams. You see players sign with different teams all the time. And you never really see the same kind of hullabaloo that goes into before an NBA player changes teams. And now, sure, Giannis would be like, you know, Patrick Mahomes changing teams right now, you know, and I get that would be a major storyline or whatever. But I just, I found myself, as everybody was kind of focused on, did you see that Giannis unfollowed all of his teammates and he unfollowed the Bucks? I'm like, who gives a fuck? Who cares? There's just like really great basketball going on right now.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, part of it's how the game is covered. And I've always, with LFR, right, one of my taglines is, let's take a closer look, right? Yeah. It's not, this isn't something that, we don't need gatekeepers anymore. We don't need people on TV or people in a newspaper as it used to be, or even online personalities, right? Like telling us that are controlling information and how we perceive. So much of an understanding of basketball will come from even an average fan, just focus on the game for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to get lost in Twitter and like half watch the game because you got something you want to say or you want to read what's going on the timeline, right? Like I'm guilty of that too, right? But anything that pulls your attention away from the game, if you actually just take 10 minutes and this is a challenge to the Locked On listeners. Mm-hmm. In a non-Laker game, if you got a game on, pick one player and watch them for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Not 10 minutes of action, just 10 minutes of real time. When they're on defense or on offense, don't watch the ball, which is going to be hard to do. Put your phone down.
You know, don't talk to anybody else. Just focus on the player.
Just watch somebody for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And see if the experience was deeper and richer and you saw several things that you were like, oh, hey, I would have never noticed that had I not been just watching one player. And that's how basketball is on any given play, there are 10 different things that you could focus on if you really wanted to slow down and take a look at it that are interesting. And if you can catch two or three on any one given play, that's really something, right? But basketball is so rich, but it requires taking that closer look at the sport in the first place. And that's why, like, when TV coverage or play-by-play, and it sounds like they're having a podcast as opposed to actually describing the action of the game, it does a disservice to the fans, and it gets us in places where we're talking about free agency 2 years from now, right? Which is because what you were talking about isn't a new thing. Talking about this guy who's going to be coming up to free agency, like, 2 years from now, there's so much – we need to turn our attention toward the game because that's how we end up in places like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like it. I think the NBA and NBA coverage fell in love with the immediate drug that is trade rumors, right? Like, I mean, this is very inside baseball, but very little actual on-court action drives a conversation or will drive somebody to click on something in the way that, you know, if you just SEO it out, right, you say like Lakers trade rumors, what package would it take to land Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Like that's the just like write out that headline, write that out, store it on your desk for a little bit, and then see how often that shit comes up, you know, because that is going to be the focus here. Whereas, you know, you watch other sports and you watch the coverage of those other sports. And yes, there are obviously personnel movement rumors all over the place as well. But I don't think it's quite as ridiculous as it's gotten in the NBA. And I think you said it perfectly. It's done a legitimate disservice to the fans, but I would also say that it's done a disservice to the sport itself.
Sure.
Like it's just there are a whole bunch of people who are watching. Like I think quite frankly, this is a big factor in why there is such a idealistic and almost, you know, theological chasm between people who consider themselves basketball fans and then analytics fans. And it's like and I think what it is we, because of the amount of focus that is spent on where's Giannis going to go and where's, you know, so-and-so superstar for another team, whether it's CJ McCollum, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, right? Where are these guys going to go? Well, we along the way have lost an understanding on how to just like talk about the sport with each other.
Sure.
And I think it's really disappointing because this, in my opinion, I've said this a few times over the years, especially over the last few weeks, this is the most talented I've ever seen the NBA. And this is also the dumbest I've ever seen the conversation be about the NBA. And I think it's a real bummer because this should be a super exciting time. And you know, you see people saying, well, the reason people aren't watching the NBA is because of the politics behind it. No, that's not it. Well, the ratings are down. Look at how far the ratings are down. Well, yeah, the literal world is on fire in California. I'm sure that plays a role.
We had a game six at 10 o'clock in the morning, too. Yeah, you know?
I'm sure there are other factors other than, you know, whether or not somebody believes in inequality, societally speaking. And I just think, like, given how exciting this time is, and the reason I laid this conversation out the way that I did is it's just to highlight how cool this is. Like right now we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Nuggets and Clippers and who the Lakers best match up against. Right. And I just think that is going to be the most entertaining or the most fun that people are going to have listening to this conversation to this point, because at the end of the day, the basketball itself is very exciting. We don't have to go for the cheap click. We really don't. That we're going to have all of this upcoming offseason to talk about Giannis. Kawhi didn't make his decision until 2 or 3 weeks into free agency. We had all of that time to focus on that there. And like when it comes to some trade or whatever, like anything like that, watch the NFL trades and watch even NBA trades. How many NBA trades that we actually see get pulled off that you have heard and speculated about from day one? That never happens. So what are we doing?
I don't know, man. Wait, let's talk about the basketball.
That sounds good to me. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, we are going to talk about the upcoming Game 7 between the Denver Nuggets and the Clippers and who the Lakers would maybe prefer to see win that game. I have never in my life had a feel for a series that is so far away from anything coming close to confidence as I do with this Denver Nuggets and Clipper series. I have no idea how this thing is. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow or tonight. I have no idea what we're going to see.
The Clippers are the better team from a talent standpoint, right?
Yeah, they're the better group of talent. Not better. Better group of.
That's a fair point.
Yeah,
they make there are a lot of miscommunications on defense,
mm-hmm.
and they've got some issues on defense, right? They've got some guards who are smaller, and just historically, smaller guards tend to have more difficulty the deeper they get into the playoffs. This is mm-hmm. not something that's Clippers specific. That's just generally in the league. That's, you know, as the closeouts get better, as the defense gets more attentive and the pressure gets higher. I'm talking like ball pressure right now.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling as you're allowed nervousness. To play
more physically and
mm-hmm. as you lock in on one opponent and their tendencies, the bigger athletes tend to become more and more prominent. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the brilliance, in my opinion, of how this Lakers team is put together, is that I've been hammering home that whole we're bigger, faster, stronger thing all season. And that's really what we're built around. And you saw, like, bro, we extinguished the Blazers and the Rockets.
Yeah.
Both teams who had, like, coming into that series, momentum and people going like, hey, you know, these guys are going to be tough for the Lakers.
Yeah, this is the greatest 8 seed of all time. This is a completely evolutionary and revolutionary team. So what happened?
Yeah, right. And so with the Clippers, they're smaller. They're and when you're small and you're having a lot of miscommunications on defense, there's a great thread today. I would shout the guy out. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but was pointing out a lot of the miscommunications that they were having. And it's Preda? Like it's game six of the – I'm sorry?
Preda? I think that was Mike Preda.
This wasn't Preda. I would have remembered him. It wasn't somebody with a check mark. But yeah, just a lot of situations where two guys stay on one guy for a beat too long, and mm-hmm. they're a team that hasn't played a lot together, and just communication mistakes. And this is the time of season where, like, yeah, you can say all season, like, hey, we're gonna get there. It's not the playoffs yet, but now it is the playoffs, and you're making those mistakes in game six of, you know, the second round that doesn't portend to the level of basketball you need to be. Even if they win game seven, they're going to have to significantly improve their play to beat the Lakers, which is not out of the question, right? But it's one of those clock is ticking type situations. Yeah. Meanwhile, Denver is, you know, they've been running on fumes. I am so impressed by them.
Yeah.
It would be so easy, having been stuck in the bubble for like 2 months and down 3-1 to the Clippers, to be like, you know, we're not going to win three in a row against them. Let's go home. Let me get some of the comforts of home that I haven't had in a while. And they have fought and fought and fought. And they're playing very hard. They've made some defensive adjustments. Just, I know Denver's got a lot of momentum. It, you know, it's also something where if Kawhi decides to drop 35 or 40 on, you know, 12 of 19 from the field, it might not matter.
Yeah. One of the things that I tend to look for in sports is the hard-ass coach that the team actually really plays hard for, you know, and especially one that's been around as long as Michael Malone has been there with Denver, where, like, year in, year out, look, you and I are both friends with Adam. I record a show with him every week, Fridays on Locked On NBA. We can find that everywhere you find podcasts. He and I talk all the time, and like year in, year out, I keep saying, is this going to be the year that they've heard enough from Malone? And then when they go through a tough time, is that actually what's going on? And he'll say, yeah, sometimes. And then, like, right now they're playing their ass off, maybe not for him, but he's their coach and they are still conveying his message. You saw those quotes from Michael Porter Jr. Dude, that was down 3-1, and he's out there calling out teammates and calling out his coach. And I remember telling Adam on the show that night, on the national show that night, hey, they need to win a game so that they can spend some more time around each other and be able to figure that shit out going into the offseason, you know. And not only did they win the next game to be able to take care of that, but they won the game after that. And now they put themselves in this spot where they can potentially win a game seven and face off against the Lakers. And every logical fiber of my being tells me the team that you want to be, that you're a little more nervous to face, is the Clippers. They have they have more individual talent. They match up a little bit better against the Lakers. The Lakers have made quick work against the Nuggets all year long. But there's this intangible momentum thing, and I would be remiss to ignore it. I think what Denver has going right now, it seems pretty special.
And at some point, it has to be about, again, the theme of the pod is looking at what's happening on the court. Like, not what we thought a team was going to be, or not what we thought a series was going to be, or what we think. But what are they doing? What are they doing right now in this game, in this moment? Those should be the pieces that comprise the overall opinion that you come up with. Not this is this team and they should be this good, so this is what I'm going to think about them forever and ever.
Yeah, until no matter what.
Like, right, like, It's been interesting to see the narrative on the Clippers where, like, you know, they got taken to six by Dallas, right?
Yeah.
As well. And they didn't have Porzingis for most of that series. And this is they're not playing well. Do they have a lot of talent? Yeah. But at some point it has to be about current. Like, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
And how well are you playing? And they're struggling right now. They're struggling. They're going to have to, even if they win game seven, they're going to have to up their play to win a series against the Lakers. And they're capable, but there's got to be some sense of urgency on their end to get to that point.
There's a significant leap that the Clippers would have to make against the Lakers, given the type of talent they've gone through to get to the Lakers to this point. You know, like Adam was saying the other day on the show, he was like, you know, you look at the teams that the Lakers have played so far, and they aren't, you know, maybe as great as we thought they were. And my retort was basically, well, what if the Lakers just made them look that way? You know, like that, and it's not even a homer take. It's just like, that's me asking a question. Whereas like the Clippers, on the other hand, if you would have told me going into this postseason, they were going to go up against Dallas, who, by the way, wouldn't have Kristaps Porzingis for the majority of that series. And then they were going to go against Denver, who still doesn't have Will Barton and only barely got back Gary Harris, is trying to rely on a rookie in Michael Porter Jr. As like an X factor. You know, like the Lakers got pretty solid competition and made them look less than. The Clippers got, I would say, at best or at worst, similar type of competition and made them look better than, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's gotta mean something. So I guess I still to this day have no idea who I would rather go up against. But I'm interested for you from where you're sitting. Is there a team like that you're going to be pulling for because you think the Lakers might have a better run against them should one team come out over the top of the other?
I don't have at this point. Like, this is about us. This is about if we play the level that we're playing at, I feel good about our chances against anybody. Like, I'm not expecting Markieff Morris to shoot 109% from three-point range, but just the way we're defending, the way that we're progressively getting better over the course of series, I don't have a preference from this would be better from the Lakers standpoint. I go both ways, right? Like, if the Clippers were to lose a game seven, that would be
hilarious.
I'm not gonna lie, that, yeah, you know, like. I also feel like we've had a date with them for a while.
Yeah.
And we showed up at the time that the date was supposed to happen. Yeah. We're looking at our watches, like, you know, they're gonna show up. Like,
yeah.
We're ready for this. We've been building to this moment the whole season.
Hey, what happened? We'll see what happened was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't make a choice between the two teams. I legitimately don't know what team would fare better against the Lakers. I think the Lakers still match up better against Denver just on paper. But when you factor in some of the mental stuff that we've seen from the Clippers this postseason, you have to take that into account. And I think the Clippers, which is insane given the way that the narrative has kind of gone about these two teams, I think the Clippers are the mentally weaker team. I think the Lakers could really take advantage of that over the course of a series. I have no idea who I would rather see the Lakers play against them. But if we see the same kind of Lakers that we saw, you know, from games 2 through 5 and in both of these last series, I don't think it matters who they play. The Lakers are going to come out on top against them and whoever comes out of the East. That the team that we've seen from in games 2 through 5 in both of the last two series is the best team in the NBA by a lot, by significant margin.
This, and it kind of happened again, if like people were paying more attention to what's happening on the court. Like, I tweeted this out yesterday, but like, LeBron's gone into his avatar state once, really. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe he touched it a little bit against Portland in one of the games, but like, he hasn't, like, y'all remember what LeBron does in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
You know, and he hasn't,
he's all right.
He hasn't done one of those, like, oh, he's in his avatar state, right? He's, mm-hmm. He did that in the first half of the third game against Houston. But, you know, there are long playoff runs where he's doing that for most of the game, right? The last couple of Cleveland teams that he had that weren't quite good enough, right, to win the title, he carried them probably a round or even two rounds further than they really should have gone, because he can get to a level that he isn't going to go to unless he has to, and he hasn't really had to because the team's playing so well. And that speaks to the like, we're a great defensive team,
yeah,
right? And so long as our role players, right, we've got two stars and then everyone else is role players. Well, if your role player's main job is to defend their asses off, they can do that every night. So you get more consistency out of your role players than you do on most occasions. And when one of your superstars is also Anthony Davis, and he's the best defensive player in the game, and then LeBron can get to defensive levels when he wants to, it's just a really it's a really, we're a vicious defensive team. And that plus LeBron and AD, yeah, I feel good about our chances against anyone.
Yeah, I would kind of equate them to that baseball team that has timely hitting, you know, like the Giants there for a while, or some, that KC team that would get the hit when they absolutely have to, and then the game would get to the bullpen, and the clamps would tighten up, and the game was effing over, you know, like when they brought in, you know, their setup pitcher. And then, or even you know, their seventh inning pitcher, their eighth inning pitcher, and then finally their closer, you aren't going to score in those innings. So you better have gotten your licks in before then, so that you can maybe stymie the tide whenever that timely hitting sets in. That's kind of how I look. And those are the kind of teams, by the way, that have won World Series the last few years. Like that, those are the teams we've seen a shift from the Curt Schilling, Randy Moss type, you know, rotation that just dominates a series and wins four out of those seven games that those guys pitch in. We've seen it shift more towards bullpen play. And I think the Lakers are kind of in that same realm on a basketball court, where in the second half, you start to see those clamps tighten up. You see those rotations tighten up. You see everybody start flying around all over the court. That allows them to get into transition, and they make baskets when they have to go on those runs and make the team look bad. Like, that's basically where I see this Lakers team. And I don't see any other team out there that has that gear in them, and definitely doesn't have the ability to make adjustments that we've seen the Lakers make throughout this postseason.
Part of the ability to get to that higher gear is it's a season long process that requires building cohesion over time and reps together. And that's something that you can't skip that process, right?
Yeah.
You cannot just flip that switch, especially if you're a new team, and expect to be able to get to that point.
I'm wondering now, I'm realizing I'm going to a lot of like cross-port analogies. And if you're coming here for a basketball podcast and you aren't like a baseball fan, or you aren't a football fan, you aren't a boxing fan, you might find yourself pretty lost. Let me know in the reviews, iTunes reviews, preferably with a 5-star review, if you're able to keep up with the cross-board analogies, because I'm realizing I lean on that quite a bit. But if you guys didn't play or pay attention to any of those other sports, you're just sitting here like, is he talking about Quidditch? Is this a Harry Potter thing? Like, is this another Avatar reference? Like, what are we doing here? I think what it comes down to kind of wrap all this together, right, is that if you haven't paid attention to this Lakers team closely, and especially if you haven't been able to isolate yourself from the biases that come with whatever the Lakers did to your favorite team growing up, And if you're able to avoid the dumb conversations that take place, especially on the national like TV shows, I'm sorry, I find a lot of that the conversations on those shows nauseating. And if your only access to this Lakers team is on those national TV games where you're just like rooting against them because they are the Lakers, because they are considered the evil empire, then I think you're really missing out, man. And I know like the point of sports fandom is emotional. It's not logical. And therefore, like, you know, you can't really help it necessarily. But if what you're looking for is just like a team that works their ass off, has a bunch of guys who are thoroughly outperforming what we considered they were capable of heading into this year, and oh, by the way, overcoming a bunch of adversity to get to this point in the first place, like, that's what we watch sports for. And if you aren't able to do that, it, you know, I can't help but not feel sorry for or pity for or whatever. I just feel like you're really missing out on something. Not telling you, hey, go, I require you all to go, you know, buy a Lakers shirt or buy a LeBron jersey or whatever. And nothing like that. Just watch this team rotate on defense and then be able to identify what this team is special at. And I think it's the kind of thing that a lot of people watch basketball hoping to see on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah. Watch that player for 10 minutes. Yeah. Lock in on that Boston-Miami series. Watch a guy for 10 minutes and see if it changes how you watch the sport a little bit.
Who would you say, like, if it is the you know, whether it's Lakers or Nuggets, Celtics, or Nuggets, Clippers, Celtics, Heat, like, if you had to find one player in those games to watch, who would you kind of direct people towards?
Ooh. Marcus Smart.
Yeah, that's God. You're making me compliment a Celtics player. Watch Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo's up there. He was one of my choices too. Tatum.
I just want you guys to know that I said the Heat player, and Pete said
Duncan Robinson is a fun guy to watch. Right, yeah. If you want to watch somebody else. That's the thing. Is like you probably know what their specialties are. Right. Or in terms of what their reputation is. So like a guy like Duncan Robinson, is he the best player on any of those teams? No, but he's an elite off-screen shooter. So watch how he sets up his man. Watch how he gets his man off of him to create space so he can get the shot off. Right. There's all these little intricacies to the game that are never focused on. So nobody knows about them. And they're really interesting. It's almost like watching two martial artists go after it. Even if it's Duncan Robinson versus, I don't know, who'd be defending him off of the ball, say Tatum. Right. Mm-hmm. And chasing him off of those screens. That's a little battle all in and of itself. And that's going to have storylines where Duncan Robinson starts out doing this and then Tatum adjusts. So then Robinson starts doing this instead. And it's just, it's a never ending well of adjustments and of guys applying technique and exploiting each other's weaknesses. And it's super cool.
Yeah. And then in Nuggets Clippers, pay attention to Nikola Jokic and see if he ever breathes through his nose. I've yet to see that in the entirety of my lifetime. I also think Goran Dragic is a good one to pick here too, because he's had an incredible career. You know, he's been a very good player for a really long time, and you could really make the case this is the best he's ever played.
Yeah.
So good point guard play is always fun to watch as well. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Pete and I will be back to talk tomorrow night. Or tonight, by the time you guys are listening to this, to discuss who the Lakers might be getting ready to play in their game one a couple days from then. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's day safe out there. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.